The Lord said through the prophet Isaiah that I am the King of Israel, and I am the Redeemer of the hosts. I am the first and the last, and besides me there is no God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The scripture tells us that he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Certainly men today need to come to know the one who made all things. The world needs to come to know the one who sustains all things. And the world needs to come to know the God who saves the world from sin. In view of all these amazing things the Lord has done, we ought to praise him. We ought not be shy about praising God, because he is worthy of our praise. Amen. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention back to the book of Galatians. Brother White read that so beautifully this morning. The sixth chapter. I'll look at one particular verse in that text. And I'm going to ask you, as we do, to please read this text after me. If you have it, say amen. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Let's read it again. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I want to thank the people of God for reading the word of God in the house of God. God's word is living, is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word is effectual. It accomplishes. It never comes back to God void. God's word is beautiful. One poet said it shines with scintillating beauty like white pearls on blue velvet. God's word is like a seed that germinates. God's word is like a sword that penetrates. God's word is like a light that illuminates. God's word is like bread that invigorates. God's word is like water that stimulates. God's word is in a class all by itself. It is an incomparable word. There's no word like the word of God. This morning, I want you to announce this subject on which we're going to share the message this morning. And that subject is the difference that makes the difference. The difference that makes the difference. Once again, the difference that makes the difference. The wise man Solomon said, of all you're getting, get understanding. Without understanding, we resemble the deaf man at the symphony. Without understanding, we resemble the blind man at the art gallery. So we have to get understanding. And when we define terms, the word difference, as we're using this word today in this message, has to do with that distinguishing feature that separates persons and things from other things. There are some things that are different. There are some things that should make the difference. Now, we're living in a world, as Brother Mark prayed this morning, where people are confused about what's right and what's wrong. We got a lot of confusion in this world, but I'm so glad this morning that God is not the author of confusion. Somebody might be confused, but God didn't do it. Amen? Now, there is a deceiver that is running, like the song, "The Little Child Running Wild." The devil is running wild. And he's misleading and guiding people in the wrong way. Amen. And this is why we must know the truth. And the truth is able to set us free. And the thing I want you to focus on this morning, the thing that really is going to make the difference for you and for me is, don't you quit. Don't you give up in your spiritual life. This text says, be not weary. You get tired sometimes. Amen. We all get tired, don't we? This text says, don't become weary in well doing. It says, because we're going to reap if we don't give up, if we don't faint. So don't become discouraged. Amen. Don't become discouraged where you give up on your spiritual investment, because the way you live is an investment in your future. The way you live is an investment in your destiny. Amen. So there may be forces and factors pulling at you, impacting you, trying to get you to give up. Many people have started on this journey, but some have turned back. But I want to tell you, the difference that's going to make the difference is you don't quit. You don't give up. Keep on doing good. Do all the good you can in all the places you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you can. Amen. Why? Because if you don't give up, you're going to reap a harvest of blessings. Can you believe that? Can you believe your future is bright? Can you believe your future is great? That there are some things in your future. I know Satan is the dream killer. I know he's the one that destroys hope. Bible says hope is an anchor of the soul. Everybody here this morning needs some hope. We got to keep hope alive in the church. Is that all right? And so I want to say to you this morning, don't give up. The song says, I don't believe he brought me this far. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road was going to be easy. How many of them had it easy all through life? Raise your hand. All of us have had challenges. Amen. But even though you had challenges, maybe you got weary. But even though you were weary, you didn't give up. Somebody said, I've come too far to turn around now. Is that all right? There's a story told by Dr. Napoleon Hill in the book Think and Grow Rich. There was a man by the name of Mr. Darby. He went west, Brother Earl, to strike it rich. There was a time when gold was flourishing, and he got investors to believe in his dream, and they gave him money, and he went out and found some land and found a gold vein, and he struck it, and gold was flowing. And after a while, he took those profits from that and paid off the creditors and the investors. And he felt like, now I'm getting ready to tap into the real profit, the real money is finna roll in now. And then it appeared that the vein had dried up. Brother Ron, he dug and he dug, but to no avail. It appeared that there was no more gold forthcoming. And he sold his stake. He sold the property. There was a man who knew something about it, and he got an expert to come in. He said there's sometime that was called fault lines. And they come to find out that he had stopped 3 feet from reaching the real gulf. 3 feet short. And you know why? Because he gave up. Well, what will you and I lose if we give up? A lot of things may happen in your life, and you may feel like you want to give up. Sometime you may feel like the song said, I'm going in circles. Have you ever seen the hamster in the wheel? He's just running and running, burning calories, burning energy, but he doesn't get anywhere. Because when all the sound and fury is gone, he's still at the bottom of the wheel. And sometimes you may feel like that in life, that I ain't getting nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. But I tell you, you got to look beyond that. Amen. And whatever you do, don't give up. Don't quit. That's a message we need to sound all over this brotherhood. Don't quit. Don't give up. Why? Because you're going to reap if you don't give up. Two things I want you to see in this message. Number one is, if we give up. If we give up. And number two, if you don't give up. Amen. When we think about life, sometimes we talk about the way life ought to be and the way life should be. But you know, you have to deal with how life is. You can talk about all you want. You can talk about till the cows come home what folks ought to do. But you got to deal with what folks do. Is that all right? Everybody ought to be nice on the highway. Is that right? Yeah. Folks shouldn't be cutting you off. Is that right? But sometime on the road, people do cut you off. Cut you off and then get mad at you. Is that all right? Cut in front. They don't even ask. They ain't even got common courtesy. Whatever happened to good manners? Amen. We can talk about the way it should be, but we have to deal with the way it is. And sometimes in life, you get beat up. Sometimes in life, you get beat down. Sometimes in life, unexpected things happen. Amen. But in spite of all of that, you have to make a determination that I'm not going to give up. Amen. But I'm going to continue to press forward, because discouragement is the tool of defeat. You can't walk around in a discouraged state of mind 7 days a week. You got to do something to make yourself feel better. You got to do something to make yourself think better. You got to do something to make yourself do better. Is that all right? And so sometimes we have to deal with the fact. Sometimes you may have the thought to give up. I've known some people who've given up. I've known some people who play the blame game. And you know, being a victim really doesn't, it's not very attractive being a victim. But I'm going to adopt for the victim card. That's not very profitable. That I'm going to be a victim. Amen. So you have to press forward. Even though sometimes you may feel the emotion. And it's a strong emotion. Amen. You can be minding your own business, then the devil come and hit you with something. In fact, that's when he usually comes. He's an uninvited guest. He's an unindicted co-conspirator. Is that all right? That's when he comes. And sometimes the temptation may be, we all face temptation. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you read your Bible, you still have to deal with temptation. Apostle Paul said that temptation is the common lot of man. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. That literally means that which belongs to men. Everybody faces temptation of some sort, of some kind. Amen. And sometimes Paul anticipated that saints would become weary. And this is why he gave this exhortation. He said, don't be weary in well-doing. Why? Because, and the way you help yourself not to be weary, you keep looking at the promise. What's the promise? If you hang in there, you're going to reap if you don't give up. Perhaps we don't say that enough. Sometimes we lose the objective, and that is you don't give up. The emotion might be strong, I want to give up, but you don't give up. You might say, I can't kill nothing, won't nothing die, but you don't give up. That's the difference that makes the difference. You might have one setback after another, but you don't give up. Burdens might get heavy, but you don't give up. Maybe you can't see your way, but you don't give up. It's getting harder and harder, but you don't give up, because you focus on the promise. What's your goal? What's your goal on this journey? What are you trying to accomplish as a Christian? I'm trying to go to a city which has foundations. Amen. Yes, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. You know, the book of Hebrews was written to encourage Christians that were feeling the pressure to give up. That's why it was written. And he wrote, don't neglect this great salvation. It was written to encourage, because there's a tendency that people will neglect salvation. And people do neglect salvation. Is that right? So he wrote a word, don't neglect this great salvation. You can get caught up in life and living. You'll reject, or you'll neglect rather, this great salvation which was first spoken by the Lord. Did you know the Lord came down from heaven himself? You know, it still blows my mind that God came here. It still blows my mind that God became a human being, Brother Mark. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested, Brother White, in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and God was received up into glory. Did y'all know God been by here? And God is not Jim Jones. Did you know some folks thought Jim Jones was God? Be careful who you trust in. Went out to Guyana. They were looking for hope and found death. Found cyanide and Kool-Aid. And the people who wouldn't drink the Kool-Aid, Brother Earl, they shot in the head. This man was not a Messiah. He was a demon. He killed people. Be careful who you trust. But I'm saying God has manifested himself for us not to give up. Amen. Isn't that awesome when you think about that? He was manifested in the flesh. Paul said he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took on the form. God took on the form of a servant. To me, that's sort of like Obama come down from the presidency and works on the garbage truck. That's a big drop, ain't it? God took on the form of a servant and became obedient even to death upon the cross. To tell me, don't give up. The Hebrew letter, he told them, watch this, don't stop forsaking the assembly. I mean, don't forsake the assembly. Had that wrong. Amen. Don't forsake the assembly. You see, Bush Hill needs to keep meeting every first day of the week. It's the first bus box. We need to keep remembering the Lord's death and suffering, what, on the first? And you lose some when you miss that first day of the week assembly. Amen. And he told them in the Hebrew letter, don't draw back. Don't go back. Don't go back. You've been saved. Don't go back to that old life. You've been bought with a price. So don't you go back. Keep on. You're going to reap if you don't give up. Amen. Here's the second and final thing I want to share this morning, and that is, if you give up, you're going to lose a fortune. Does it hurt to lose money? One guy said, man, he was having such a hard time in life, didn't have no money, was struggling financially, struggling economically, and said he lost $5 and was sick for a week. Now usually you can lose $5 and just kind of shake that off. I guess you can. Depends on who we're talking to, huh? Is that all right? But it really hurts to lose a fortune. If you give up, you're going to lose a fortune. If you give up, you're going to lose a destiny. If you give up, you're going to lose your home in heaven. So I say to you, don't give up. Here's a final point. If you don't give up, you got to know what's at stake, right? Got to know what's on the line. Is that right? When you know what's on the line, then it motivates you to keep your eyes on the. A lot of stuff can distract you. A lot of stuff can happen in your life and get you off point. Is that right? So you got to keep your eyes on the prize. And the prize is, if you don't quit, how many know some people today that have quit? If you don't quit, what's going to happen? You're going to reap if you don't quit. I want to say to you this morning that this Christian race is more like a marathon than a 100-yard or 100-meter dash. You got to run this race. And I'll tell you, in order to make it, you're going to need some patience. I know we're living in a world now, we want rapid refund. We want express line, and I do too. Amen. I used to get out and go in the bank. Now I just go by the drive-through window. Hello, y'all. I used to get out and take my clothes in the cleaner. Now I just go through the drive-through window. You know, that can spoil you, can't it? Amen. Jump from line to line in the store. And the line I get in is one slow down. Is that right? But the word of God said we have need of patience. And did you not know when you go through your struggles, when you're having a hard time, did you not know God is teaching us patience? How else is God, you know, you get up and you say, Lord, help me to be patient. Do you know what you're asking for? When you get up and say, Lord, I need more patience. Lord, help me to be. Well, you ask the Lord to send you some struggles and some problems. Because that's the only way you're going to develop patience. Is that all right? I learned patience the hard way, Brother Sperling. I couldn't wait. And I went around the gate. Yeah, I did. The gate was down, Brother Harris. And I couldn't wait. How many can't wait? Sister Johnson, I went around the gate. And the police came around the gate behind me. Yes, he did. He pulled me over. And by the way, since I'm telling, I'm going to tell old Martin too, Spurs Spirit, because Martin was right behind me. He got me and Martin. He got these two preachers running around the gate. Ain't that bad? Martin was following Moss. But I know he regret following me that day. Police said to me, Mr. Moss, do you know why I stopped you? I said, yes, sir, I certainly do. He said, Mr. Moss, this gate is here for your safety. He was right. And Mr. Moss, I'm going to give you this ticket. I went out and ran to the place, and that ticket cost me 100 big ones. I learned some patience from that. You don't see me going around gates now. The gate may be down, folks blowing. You come on around. You come on around. Bro Harris, I ain't going through that. Be just my luck when I go around, the police, they're waiting on me. Is that all right? You have need of patience. Is that all right? I said, you have need of patience on this journey. We need patience. Amen. Lord said in Luke 21:19, in your patience you possess your soul. Is that all right? Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. He talks about by patient continuance in well doing. What are you doing? You got to keep on doing what you're doing. You got to keep on coming to church. You got to keep on praying. Is that all right? You got to keep on giving. You got to keep on serving. You know why? It's going to pay off for you after a while if you don't give up. Right. Amen. By patient continuance and well-doing, seek for glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. In Hebrews 10, about verse 36, he said, you have need of patience. That after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. After you have done the will of God, after you have been faithful and obedient, You're going to reap a great harvest. Let people know you're in it to win it. Let people know you are mentally tough. And I'm going to stay with the Lord. Come hell or high water, I'm going to stay with the Lord. I didn't come this far to give up now. Can anybody relate to that? I didn't come this far to give up now. I want to tell you, this is the difference that's going to make the difference in my life. So I want to say to you, as I say good morning to you and as I go to my seat, the difference that makes the difference in your life is that you determine. And one thing we said, I want to say it again in the Sunday school. We talked about the renewing of the mind. Two things got to take place if you're going to renew your mind. Number one, what goes into your mind. Number two, what goes on in your mind. That's going to determine whether you renew your mind. And you got to reinforce this thought, I will not give up. Can you say that? I will not give up. Say it again. I will not give up. Amen. And you got to think that way. That I'm gonna get that harvest. I'm going to reap that harvest. The Bible talks about the patience of Job. Job, the devil said, I can wear him down. I will touch his life. If I could touch his wealth, he'll give up. If I could kill all his children, he'll give up. And he's looking at you and he's looking at me. And he's while the devil is plotting, God is planning. Amen. He's looking at us and he's saying, I got to figure out how to make him quit. Amen. Well, if I touch his body, if I get him sick enough, if I make him hurt badly enough, he'll give up. If I could break up his marriage, if I could turn his wife against him, he'll give up. If I could bring his best friends, they come and sat with him, Brother Harris, in stunned silence for 7 days and didn't say a word. And then when they begin to open their mouths, they begin to stick in the knives and twist it. And Job said to them, you are miserable comforters. I don't need y'all here to be telling me this while I'm going through this. Y'all miserable. Y'all need to just hush. In fact, you ought to just leave. Amen. Is that all right? But you know, Job did not give up. And then the Bible talks about the farmer, how he waits for the early and the latter rains. When you see the crop at the farmer's market, somebody had to wait. Is that right, Sam White? I went to Sam White's house. He had tomatoes in a big basket. He had bell peppers. And Wyatt had to wait. I think Phyllis made him go water them. And he was so kind, Ron. He gave me tomatoes and bell peppers. And I made me a salad. Went and got me some cold cuss. Earl went with it, some ranch dressing. Man, I looking all out the window. I chew a bite and go look out the window. Pray. But Wyatt had to wait. Now listen, you got to wait. You can't get in a hurry. But I want to tell you, don't you give up. No matter what happens, if you lose everything, I know that's tough. Don't give up. If you get sick, lose your job, lose your retirement. I was talking with some people this week, Brother Lance. People lost retirements. Some folks said because of what happened, they got to work till they die. Huh? But I still say they did not give up. No matter what happens, if you hang in there, you're going to reap if you faint not. Amen. And I refer back to Isaiah as I close. He talked about waiting. How many can wait this morning? He said, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength." Then the prophet said, he said, "The youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But," that was a big but there, y'all. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wing like eagle. Run, not be weary." Historically, Isaiah is talking about the return from Babylonian captivity. And when the people return, they will feel like eagles. "I believe I can fly. I believe through God's grace I can touch the sky." Is that all right? And if you continue, you will reap. Is that all right? And I serve a God whose promises cannot fail. I serve a God who cannot lie. I serve a God who doesn't play with words or make promises he doesn't intend to keep, because he is the promise keeper. Is that all right? He is the promise keeper. Is that all right? And if he says it, it's like money in the bank. Is that all right? If the Lord says a rooster dips snuff, look on his wing, because it cannot fail. Is that all right? His promises, oh, exceeding great and precious. His promises are from everlasting to everlasting. Is that all right? His promises keep hope alive. His promises keep me from floating off into uncharted waters. Is that all right? His promises will renew my strength. Is that all right? And if I keep my eye on the prize, if I keep my eye on the prize, because God's eyes are on the sparrow, and I know, yes I do, he watches me. So why should I feel discouraged? Why should I long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? Can anybody say amen to that? A constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow. Oh yes, and I know. How many know this morning? I know he watches me. So church, I'm not going to give up. Brother Mark Lee prayed this morning about what's happening in this country. We got to stand for right regardless of what the president says, regardless of what the Supreme Court says, regardless of what local legislators say. We must say we will stand with the Christ. And we will not give up our Christian commitment. Amen. I've come too far. Turn around now. That's the message. Would you stand, please? Whatever you do, don't give up. Might get discouraged, but what? Don't give up. You're going to reap what if you what? If you don't? Can you say that? I'm going to reap if I don't give up. Say it again. I'm going to reap if I don't give up. Once again, I'm going to reap if I don't give up. You let that thought sink down into your ears, into your heart, and that'll help you through the tough times. Amen, because tough times are coming. Amen, but tough people get going when times get tough. And through God's grace, I can be mentally tough, and I can hang in there through Christ. Amen. Does anyone here this morning can respond to the greatest invitation of all time? You'll never get an opportunity like this. You may be submitting resumes and you're trying to do this, trying to go to the next level. You're trying to step into your greatness. But I want to tell you, you will never get an invitation or an opportunity like the one Christ is offering you. Amen? They can't beat him in what he's offering you. Amen. Because what he offers is eternal. It's everlasting. Amen? Well, how do I become a Christian? You come by hearing the gospel, how the Lord died for you, was buried, resurrected. You come by believing that with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, Acts 17:30, confessing Christ, Romans 10:9-10, and being immersed, baptized in water for the remission of sin. You can't pray your way in. There's only one true way. Amen. And that way is in the Bible. So make your calling. Make sure you got it right. Make your calling and election sure. And when you do, that'll make you a child of God. And if you're a child of God and you need the Lord to restore you, you repent, confess, and pray, and the Lord will put you back in the right standing with himself. And when you do that, you can say, no matter where you are, you can sing this song we're about to sing right here. No matter what you're going through, you can say, this can be your song. Listen to it. I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord find a way for me. If I walk in heaven like Shonda wrong and do what's right, I know the Lord will find a way for me.